Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy. Here we are going to be airing this August the 12th. We're starting a brand new series. It'll be a short one. God just laid on our heart to do what we call a primer on abiding and discernment. As he says, he wanted you and I to assist people to understand how God speaks to them in a personalization of what he's saying to them. As I've discipled people, I've noticed that they struggle because they have a tendency when they're in the Word to keep looking at it as Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is, so, you know, we tell them, write the verses out longhand. Then what does it say? And what does it mean to you?
Mm-hmm.
And then they say, well, I'm not sure, I'm struggling, or it's difficult. It doesn't seem to matter. I said, okay, write what you wrote and send it to me. And then let's look at it. And what they are writing is really as if they're trying to agree with a commentary.
Right.
It says this. And they write down something that, okay, that looks like it's true, but they're not personalizing it.
Right.
And so they're going in circles about, well, okay, but what am I supposed to do with this? And they don't know what to do with it. And what does abiding really look like? And how is it different than Bible study? So we've had lots of people that are learning abiding, and they're in the Word. And they are understanding cross-referencing and a variety of things. But what God said is, we'll help them a little bit further by just showing them how to personalize it. I'm going to speak to them personally. And you and I, you know, we've had people that we've talked to that it's an interesting question. They say, I'm not sure I'm hearing God's voice.
Right. I hear that a lot.
Yeah.
That's a common one, I think.
Yeah. And part of it is they're caught up in the thought is, what if I'm not right?
Mm-hmm.
I want to be right. And I do want to follow God. So that the heart is there. And interesting enough, as you and I get to participate, we actually see that, well, you are hearing from God, but you aren't recognizing you're hearing from God. So you second guess it, and then you wonder, and then you leave it at what I call the theological level and the intellectual level, and you never get down to the personalizing it and trusting it, you know, what God is saying. So that's what we want to have this short course. What we're going to do is go through some key verses to just make sure we understand it, and then we're going to practice it. And the way we're going to practice it is, and this is something that is kind of universal, and a lot of people that we deal with have this issue, is what do I do with people that are causing me conflict, hurt me, opposing me, and has done something that is not just, but it seems like they're winning.
Right.
And what am I supposed to do with that? Because it seems like injustice is winning the day, and am I supposed to just accept that? And do I just live with this conflict and this heaviness? And the answer is no, but you got to let God give it to you. You know, so we'll actually do that as an example,
and walk through it. That'll be great.
Yeah. So let's start with The first statement that he makes about this is in 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 16. He sets up, and what we're going to do in these first set of verses is, well, what does he say about abiding? Mm-hmm. And we got to keep remembering this as we go through it. So 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 16.
Sure. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Spirit, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Yeah. So, you know, he starts out, and this is, you know, Paul writing about the process of abiding. He says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard. So he's basically saying that this process is not based on intellect and logic.
Mm-hmm.
Don't rely on intellectually reading the Bible. Okay, what does it intellectually say? And you write it down, but it never goes anywhere, because he says you aren't going to be able to do it from your perspective with just your logic. He says, but God has prepared things to speak to you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's God's path. That's why, by the way, when we talk about abiding, it's what is God saying to you, not what are you studying?
Mm.
So, yeah, you can go to it. And it's okay, by the way, to go to a Bible study and be part of a Bible study. No problem.
Yeah. And there's value in that.
Yeah,
too.
And there's a lot of value, and you're learning things. But personally, it's where God has you at the moment. Here's what I want to say to you, and I want you to spend time with me as I give this to you. And he makes a statement here. He said, God will reveal that through the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The word there is revelation, disclosure, uncovering. You can't get it intellectually. You have to receive it through your Spirit that is resident within you, the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And he'll start to reveal things to you that only he knows, and you'll start to receive it. So he said, first of all, don't approach it intellectually,
mm-hmm.
but rather it's a process of look for God's revelation, and his job is to give it to you. And by the way, he's already prepared it right now, wherever you are. God mm-hmm. says, I have something to say to you. Let's start here. Are there other things you're interested in? Yes. Are there other things to get to? Yes, but you can't handle them all at once.
Right.
So let's just go now, and I'll confirm it for you, and you'll see it. Okay. And then he says it's spiritual things. And in verse 12, he says the key is that we are to receive the things of God through the Holy Spirit, who's going to give it to us freely.
Mm-hmm.
And openly, without any condemnation, you know. So, as we abide, and what we'd like you to do is write these key things down, and keep them in front of you, because it'll help shape as you move through it to always come back to, oh yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
It's not intellectual; it's revelation. Okay, write that down. It's not intellectual; it's revelation. Number two, we are to receive it, not go get it. So what do you have to say to me? I'm going to be in a receiving mode, and I'm going to let you reveal it to me. I'm not going to try to figure it out myself.
Mm-hmm.
So always stay in a receiving mode. And God says, I'm freely going to make sure that you receive it. And then read verse 14 again, because he said, by the way, remember this.
says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the spirit, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned.
Yeah. So he's talking about in the carnal, the flesh, intellect. If you're looking at Bible and it seems like, well, I don't experience that. Mm-hmm. And I don't see anybody else that experienced that. Or it doesn't even make sense to me because it seems contradictory. I can't figure this out. And what you do is you consider it foolishness, which means I just ignore it. I'm not going to pursue it anymore. Why bother? I can't figure this out. And God says, no, because of revelation, begin to realize that what I'm telling you is true. It's okay that you say, I don't know how this is true. Mm-hmm. Or I don't know how I'm going to experience it, and I certainly never have. But I'm willing to let you keep revealing things to me, and I'm going to walk with you until I do experience it. So again, a real simple example, after I learned abiding and hearing the voice of God and being in this mode. And for me, by the way, my background is super intellectual. That's how I operated. You know, it's just my mind was so I could get some information, come to a conclusion, make a decision. And even when I was in seminary, that's how I studied the Bible intellectually. Right. And I was good at it. I had to pass tests, by the way, and I could. When I learned it, I had to subordinate my intellect. I didn't abandon my intellect, but I subordinated to, okay, I'm going to receive it spiritually through the Spirit. And there was a moment when God said, I would like to show you healing. And my reaction was, okay, but I'm pretty skeptical because I see a lot of phony baloney stuff, and I haven't seen healing around me, and so I'm approaching it with, I don't have a real great enthusiasm for this, but I'm willing to because you say so.
Right.
And he said, okay, now you got to be a receiver and walk with me. Do not consider it foolishness. And he gave me some verses, and I approached it with, the verse says it's true. I just don't know yet, understand it as true for me. What I didn't do is reject it.
Right.
Well, because I don't know it, I'm not going to pursue it. And this verse doesn't make sense to me, but since you said it, I'm going to stay with it to receive it and let you give it to me spiritually, and I'm never going to consider it foolishness, and I'm just going to start with it's true. I just don't yet know how it's true, and pursue it. And he did, by the way, and he showed me, and it took you know, several months of walking through my heart through it, and then, by the way, I had to start practicing it, which was interesting because that's risky. But I learned it, and it's now, having learned it, and I see verses on healing, I don't even have any skepticism.
Right.
At the same time, I don't say I command it because I can, because I still got to go to God and say, what do you have to say about this?
What do you have to say? Exactly.
You know, similar to what we went through with Michelle, is that did I believe in healing? Absolutely. Could God have healed her? Absolutely. But I couldn't assume it. Because God's will is bigger than that. So it wasn't that it wasn't potentially available to me, or I wouldn't believe it. If he would have said, I'm going to heal her, I would have gone to believe about it. But I got to go back to, you know, what he had to say about it. But I learned it out of a deep, in a sense, foolishness as a beginning point. But because I had learned this, he said, don't consider it foolishness. You just don't understand it yet.
Right.
Okay. I'll go with you. So the three things we want you to write down, and remember, we're going to have you keep these in front of you, is that you can't do this intellectually, but it's through revelation. Number two is be a receiver of that revelation. Don't be a go-getter, and don't try to figure it out on your own. And third is, even though it doesn't make sense to you, don't go to foolishness, but keep going. Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians 3:4-6.
2 Corinthians 3:4-6 says, and we have such trust through Christ toward God, Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life.
Yeah. So he says that this process, and this is number four to write this down, is the sufficiency to be able to hear, receive, and process spiritual things is up to God, not up to us.
So good.
We are equally able to receive anything as the most spiritual person we might know. So are we able, you know, if we compared, you know, Billy Graham or Henry Blackaby, can we hear like they hear? Yep. Why? Well, because it's not based on them. It's based on God. And you and I can testify to that. It's
right.
That's part of the thrill that we have, by the way, mm-hmm. is to see somebody who's just learning this. When they start to recognize, oh, I'm hearing God's voice.
Right.
Yeah, because that's God. All you got to do is have a heart to hear it, you know. So don't worry, you know, am I good enough? Am I smart enough? Do I have enough theological education? I'm not as spiritual as somebody else. Put that all down and say, nope, it's all up to God. I'm just going to walk with him, and he'll start giving it to me.
Right. I love the very first Abide retreat we went to. I remember you saying there is no junior Holy Spirit and senior Holy Spirit.
That's right.
You know, and we do tend to, you know, in our earthly tendencies, that's the way we think of things. Well, I haven't been walking with God as long yet. You know more than I do. And we tend to put that same characteristic on the Holy Spirit that, you know, until we have walked long enough, then, you know, because you've been walking so long, Rich, you can hear from him so much more clearly than I can.
Yep.
And, you know, that's our tendency, but that's not what the word says. The sufficiency is solely from him.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, we have to start recognizing it. And again, as you're starting, and cause we say God said, or we heard God say, and you say, well, I don't hear that.
Right.
Well, actually you do. You just don't recognize it yet.
Right.
And so we have to practice. And that's what happened to me. When I first learned this, it wasn't like, oh, yeah, I got it.
Yeah.
But I had to start learning. It's like, am I hearing that right? You know, yeah.
And right.
And you are hearing me. And this is how I'm speaking to you. And as time goes forward, there are different ways that I can speak. And I'll show you what that looks like. And the beautiful thing is there's no system to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's relationship. And so how you talk to Dan and Dan talks to you is different than the way Linda and I talk.
Right.
It's unique, but we know it. Mm-hmm. And God said, I'll teach you that. So he says, the sufficiency is mine. That's number four. Number five is if you read the scriptures as letter of the law, things I have to go do, what does it say it does?
Says it kills it.
Kills you. And what it's doing is, remember, he says, it's a spiritual process of revelation from the Holy Spirit. If you look at it intellectually and what I have to go do on my own, he says, actually, you kill off that connection.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to wind up with discouragement because you can't perform the law.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't get there. So you basically get discouraged about even reading the Bible. I'm trying. I should. And God says, well, just stay with me and don't read it as law. Let me process it with you to receive it. Because he said, if you read it as spirit, it brings what? Life.
Mm-hmm.
There's the indicator. Are you, when you're in the word, is what you're processing bringing you life? And life looks like, it's called a quickening of the spirit. It's called excitement. It's like, wow, look at this. I'm receiving the life of God in it. That's an indicator I'm in the right place.
Yeah.
And I'm not doing it intellectually.
The other thing I would say in that is sometimes when we stay in the intellectual, I think we also treat it as a to-do list.
Yep.
And so I think that's something like if you see you get, well, I've just got to read this passage real quick, check the box because I've got all these things to do. And we've all done that before, right? At some point. And there's not life in that because you're not giving time for actual conversation and dialogue either, and giving time and space to hear what the Spirit is speaking to you.
Yeah.
And I think we do need to be cognizant of how we practice that. We need to help remove distractions and actually, you know, want to be in his presence and want and desire to hear his voice and not just sit down with a rush. I'm going to check the box because I know I need to do this and that. Then I'm back to performance, right?
Right, right.
And so, and it absolutely, there won't be life when you do that.
That's right.
You know?
Yep. So number five is don't let it go to law, but rather let it be life. Okay. Then he says something about the words that he's going to speak to you. So go to John. First of all, go to John 6:63.
Okay. John 6:63 says, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life.
Okay. So, you know, is Bible all logos? Yes. Is it all true? Yes. But he says, if you approach it in the flesh, intellect, law, it profits nothing. In other words, it's worthless. Mm. It's worthless what you're doing. Rather, he said, the words that I speak to you are spirit and their life. See? And so the words themselves, and this is a very profound piece of the truth, is, and by receiving these words, they actually do its work within me. And it fulfills what God is up to circumstantially. So that it's not, do I intellectually say I see something or I don't? Rather, am I having the power of those words? Because he said my words, it's plural, by the way, so it's not concept. It's not good idea.
Right.
It's not, you know, that's why reading a devotion is where you're reading somebody else's concept, but the words you're not reading. You know, so the words have to be, and that's why we ask you to memorize the scriptures you're in. He said that it'll be spirit, it'll do its work, and it'll be life. And he said, what I'm speaking to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference between I'm going to go study the book of John versus what do you have to say to me?
Right.
And you want me to be here, and I'm going to stay here until what? They become spirit and life, see?
Mm-hmm.
So my words are spirit and life. Okay, and then Peter makes a statement in John 6:68. What does he say?
But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life.
Okay, so he said, you said words are spirit and life. So remember, that's number six now. The words are spirit and life. And they translate into eternal life. Now, the evangelical world has limited that to a transaction.
Mm.
Oh, the words of me becoming a believer and I get to go to heaven. That's right. That's what we call eternal life. And God says, no, it's not. It's a fullness of the abundant life. Okay, now Jesus says, let me define it for you. And he does in John 17:3. What does he say?
He says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent.
He said eternal life. And remember, he said through the words that are spirit and life are going to lead you to know. And the word there, know, is experience, participate with, live out, have the reality of God's life become ours. We know the Father and we know the Son through the Holy Spirit who's resident within us. So he said eternal life, the words of eternal life isn't a transaction. It's where I'm going to speak to you to transform you, to speak promises to you as you start to live it out. And you'll start to experience me and what I'm doing in your life and stay with it until you do.
Right.
And stay with the words. And Peter understood that and said, you know, it's not about a transaction. It's about the life of God, and Jesus himself defined it. It's my life that I'm gonna give you. So the next point is that the words are to have it to be fully experienced and not to leave it until we do.
Mm, so good.
Yeah.
So good.
So we'll stop here as a beginning point. We're going to continue next session to get the premise set up. Then we'll start practicing it. If you would write these things down, and what ultimately you do is if you just keep them in front of you for a while and keep remembering this, it drives us to, okay, let me get to the truth of this, and I'm not going to drift away from this.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm not supposed to do it intellectually, which our tendency is to drift there.
Right.
Okay. Wait a minute. It's not intellectual. It's revelation through the Holy Spirit. Okay. I'm going to go back to that and keep experiencing that. So keep this in front of you. And then we're going to go into a further understanding of it, and then we're going to practice it. So Heavenly Father, thank you for, you have so clearly laid out what abiding is. And it's, knowing you and knowing the Father through connected to the vine. And so we praise you for that and pray that we'll stay there and learn it as we personalize it and experience you in a beautiful way. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks so much for sharing, Rich. Looking forward to this little mini series. And if you have questions, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. We'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters.